The uniformed police officer in the hallway watched her go and reached for his phone. She knew he'd be reporting her departure. Two men in the waiting area, overlooking Order's room, abandoned their magazines and took up deliberate pursuit. They wore casual clothes with lightweight, thigh-length jackets. Both of them moved in loose readiness and didn't make eye contact. Deliberately avoiding the elevators, Anya increased her speed, almost jogging to the stairwell door. Instead of going down the stairs, Anya reached up and caught the side of the stairs leading up to the next floor. Moving quickly, she hauled herself up. Back pressed against the wall, Anya watched as the door swung open. The older of the two men came through first and hesitated just a moment, looking at the next landing, the door there, and then down the stairwell shaft. He slipped a cell phone from his pocket and started down the steps.
This is Claude. She spotted me and Edgar and is coming your way. We'll take her at ground level.
The second man stopped two steps down and turned to look up. Anya kicked him in the face and vaulted over the rail. As she landed, Anya saw Claude reach under his jacket. She ducked and grabbed the pistol from Edgar's shoulder holster. With two bullets in his left knee, Claude collapsed and rolled down the steps. Anya followed. Despite his pain, Claude turned his gaze on Anya and tried to point his pistol at her. Anya reached out and wrenched the weapon away from him. Then she stripped the magazines from both pistols and released the slides, letting the weapons fall in pieces to the steps.
Who are you?
Vata Ferputra!
Anya stepped forward and put her foot on the man's wounded leg. He tried to crawl away, but she kept the pressure on.
I don't have a lot of time here, Claude. Either your friends will arrive or the police will. Who are you with?
I work for Ligier Tercesso.
Who is he?
My boss.
What does he want with me?
He knows you have copies of those papers you were looking at with the crystal. The other pages are in police hands. He can't get them.
What does de Cerso know about the pages?
I don't know. I just know what he tells me. Today he told me to bring you to him, or to kill you.
Why does he want the crystal in the pages?
I don't know!
Anya leaned down to rifle through Claude's clothing.
Hands off, bitch!
Hold still!
Putain!
Oh, and incidentally, je parle couramment le français. Ta gueule, fils de putain!
Sulking, Claude put up with her search. He carried his wallet in his pants pocket, and she took it. She also grabbed his cell phone and Edgar's. Then, aware that time was working against her, she fled down the stairs. She entered the next floor and walked toward the elevators as a security guard trotted toward the stairwell.
Hold up, miss.
Anya pointed toward the stairwell.
Thank God you're here. There are two men in there shooting at each other.
Are you hurt?
No, I don't think so.
Good. Go downstairs, get somewhere safe, and wait until I find you.
Okay.
Pulling his sidearm, the guard nodded and positioned himself by the stairwell door with both hands on his weapon.
Security! Put your weapons down!
Anya walked quickly toward the elevators. After taking advantage of the elevator ride to call for a cab, Anya got off on the first floor. She strode toward the ER, threading the line of patient-filled gurneys and medical personnel streaming from that direction. A female police officer and two male security guards ran toward the stairwell with their weapons in their hands. The ER was crowded. Anya stood beside a potted plant with broad leaves and stared through the window as she gazed out in front of the hospital. There was no cab yet, but she also didn't see anyone who might be working with Claude and Edgar, which was a good thing. Still, she didn't want to get caught out in the open in front of the hospital. Whoever de Cerceau was, he had professionals working for him. She took out her sat phone again, then retrieved the card she'd gotten from Detective Leslie Connolly from the side pocket of her backpack and punched the number in.
Connolly.
Hi, Detective. This is Anya Creed.
Ms. Creed, I'm surprised you called.
I'm betting you're not too surprised. I'm sure you've heard about the shooting at the hospital.
As it turns out, we're on our way there now. We'd heard you were involved.
I was only involved to the point of self-preservation. Two men came after me. I left them behind for you.
Alive?
Yes, they're alive. One of them told me they're working for a man named Ligier de Cerceau. The name means nothing to me. I was hoping you could tell me more.
I really can't.
If you're not going to talk to me, there's no reason for me to hang around here.
You're involved in a shooting.
I was involved. Was No thanks to the guard you've got covering, Dr. Orta.
We could have put a guard on you if you'd told us you were in danger.
I can take care of myself. I thought we could compare notes. If you don't know anything about De Cerceau, we have nothing further to discuss. I'll let you get back to your day.
Wait. Miss Creed, are you there?
I am.
Through her own grayed reflection in the window glass, Anya watched a yellow cab slide to a halt in front of the hospital.
I thought I'd lost you.
Not yet.
De Cerceau turned up on some of our preliminary reports. The men we have in custody have worked for him in the past.
I bet they still do. So tell me about De Cerceau.
Out in front of the hospital, the cab driver looked around and tapped his fingers on the steering wheel.
The information's still coming in. We're building a better picture of the man.
What do you know so far?
He works as a mercenary, but he's also done international security work for people who ship valuable artifacts and artwork. Some auction houses around the globe do regular work with him on high-end pieces. He has a reputation for being quite formidable.
There are two men down in a stairwell. One has been shot, but there's no danger of him bleeding out. The other will probably still be unconscious. He got hit pretty hard. If you look around, I think you'll find more people working for De Cerceau who will be concerned with getting those men out of there.
All right. Where are you going to be?
With any luck, gone.
Anya broke the connection on the sat phone, kept it in one hand, and exited the ER room through the admittance door. Outside, Anya stayed focused on the waiting cab and watched the surroundings for movement as she walked toward the vehicle. Two other cars sat in the waiting area in front of the hospital's main door. Reaching the cab, Anya opened the back door and slid inside. The driver, a young man wearing a concert t-shirt, looked over his shoulder.
Where to?
Santa Monica.
You here visiting someone?
A friend.
Well, I hope he's doing all right.
He is, thanks. Could we go? I'm kind of in a hurry. I overstayed.
Sure, sure.
The driver pulled away from the curb and headed for the street.
Whoa!
Then quickly pulled over again as two patrol cars turned into the hospital driveway, lights blazing, and sped past the cab.
Damn, something's going on.
Something's always going on in this city.
The cabbie accelerated out into traffic. Anya took out the captured cell phones and tried to get into them. Both were password protected, which bothered her only a little. She had other means of getting information. She turned them off, took out the batteries, and dumped them both back into her backpack.
Might even be a movie or a television stunt, though they usually block the streets off for that, which can be a real pain. What's the address in Santa Monica?
Hang on.
Anya consulted her phone and found an internet cafe in Santa Monica.
Do you know the Spice Mill on Main?
Yeah, I know it. Great chai. Take you right there.
Thanks.
Then Anya punched in Istvan Ratz's number.